Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise His name.
2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Lord would help me. I'm going to take from that clause, of the last clause, at that day or that day. I want to preach tonight on that day. Would you raise your hands and pray for me? Heavenly Father, we stand before the throne of God and before these your people, asking you, Father, for the abilities that I do not possess, that I may be able to feed the flock of God, be able to present your word as you would have it presented. Give me that ability, and I will see that you get the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. That day, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
Amen. If you go with me tonight back down into the archives of your mind, go with me back to Rome where Paul is penning this letter, and you'll have to walk down the dank stairways, and the stench will be unbearable, and there will be things that will be grotesque in your mind. But continue on till you get to the cell, and there you will see this frail man as he sits with his back stooped dictating this letter, for it is his farewell letter that he is writing to Timothy. In that farewell letter, Paul he gets to a time that he cannot define, and he simply calls it that day. Shall be given me at that day. He knows that only God understands when that day will be. He understands that it is a mystery that's hid in Christ, but he also knows that it will one day be a day of great reward. He's sitting in a prison. He is a prisoner. He's chained to a soldier, and he is not free, but he is looking at freedom. He is looking beyond prison walls. You see, he is actually standing on the borderline between two worlds, the present and the future. And Paul right now is casting his wishful gaze over on the land of the future. He just took a glance backward, and in his past years, he could see nothing but victorious service, for he said, I have fought a good fight. He looks back and said, I have finished my course. And Paul is looking back over his shoulder, and his anticipation of the future is heightened by what he had been through in his past. Sometimes we fail to get the picture of Paul's life. You see, it just consists like us. It consists just in three parts: yesterday, today, and the future. We can look back to yesterday, gauge our today and how we're doing. But our real heart's throb is for the future. We do not live just for today or dwell just only in yesterday. We're citizens of two worlds. Paul was looking at that day and considering his service and his sacrifice, during which he had won many souls to Christ and had started so many and established so many churches, and that in the midst of great persecution. Paul was not just running from life. He knew that what he had been through had been no bed of roses, neither had it been a part-time occupation with Paul. He had give his all. He had run like a man in a race. He had fought the fight of faith like a soldier in a battle for his life. Paul was looking at his achievements amidst his great struggles, and he had really experienced quite a few. I don't know if you understand that or not, but it took great determination for him to be supportive to the purpose of that ministry, because he had suffered so much. And that's exactly what he was trying to do. He was never satisfied with just one activity. He always had to go on to the next. When he was in Jerusalem, he said, "I must go to Rome." When he got to Rome, he said, I must see Europe. He was wanting to go on even past Rome. He was never satisfied. His ministry brought him many notable things and response wherever he went. For Paul was either in revival or he was starting a riot, but it was never quiet when that man was around. He would debate, preach, he would condemn, he would fight the good fight of faith. He was a soldier of the cross. But now we come to the end of Paul's life, and he is going to describe some of his hardships. He's going to lay these troubles out that we can look at them 2,000 years later and marvel that a man could withstand such an onslaught of trouble. Listen to them as it says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes." 5 times he received 40 stripes. That was not with a keen switch. That was with a club. And that, my friend, would bend your back, make your knees weak, leave scars on your body. He said, "Save one." That means he got 39 stripes from the Jews with their cane pole. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." That's all found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Paul lays it out. Now, can we look at him and keep back our admiration? No, we'd almost want to stand to our feet and applaud him. For Paul had definitely been an apostle of great esteem. A man that was willing to lay his life down as a sacrifice. It tells us of a life that would have been most useful to the kingdom of God. It tells of a man who had gave it all up, gave it all in. He had cashed every check. He had put in every IOU. He could now look and say, "I owe no man nothing but to love them." What a way to come to the end. You see, we oftentimes read that long list and we forget that we too are parts of that struggle. Look at this, in weariness. We have been there. In painfulness, some of us have been there. In watching, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. We could say with the Apostle Paul, "I understand that. I know something about that, Paul." We don't want to just hold to a story and say, "Well, that's Paul." It was not put in there for Paul. It was put in there for our edification. It was put in there to make us feel like we too are people of worth. If you're not careful, the devil will take you, put you in a spiritual jail, lock you up, and call you a good for nothing. You'll look around and say, "Well, I haven't done anything for God." But that's not true. That is not true at all. If you come faithful to church, if you pray for your church, If you fast often for your church, you're fighting a spiritual warfare. If you stand in the gap for your family, if you're laying your life down between a sinner and hell, you're fighting a battle that Paul fought quite often. If you withstand the devil and won't give him place, you're a soldier of the cross. Sometimes we forget that we too go through peril just like Paul. We're in peril every day. This demon has control of this friend. This demon has control of this relative. This spirit is troubling this child. And then this spirit is troubling that family. And all of a sudden, we see ourselves in a conflict, in a battle that rages. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is no playground tap and run and pull and tug of war. Ours is down in the trench. Amen. If we're going to win that soul, it could cost us blood. If we're going to come out on top, it could cost us pain. If we're really going to do something for God, it may cost us being deprived of some of the pleasures that the world has. We may have to give up something and take on a whole load that we're packing by ourselves. And we look around and nobody seems to understand what we're going through. Did you ever look at your companion and they just look at you with a blank look like, what are you talking about? And there you stand broken. You just can't hardly stand for the weight that's on your heart. And you look for somebody to understand and nobody quite grasps the battle that you're in. Paul was trying to tell us these perils of robbers and perils of mine own countrymen and perils of heathen, perils of the city and perils in the wilderness, in peril in the sea and peril among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst and fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Paul was simply saying, I live life. I was not just in some parsonage. I was on a battlefield. Amen. Right, yeah. I was fighting every day, not with a sword like the Romans have, but with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God. Amen. You see, when you really take the slack and you really want a revival to start in your house, it's going to spread to your church. But it can never get to your church until it's got to your home. Right. Because when you just have revival here, you're going through hell at home. And then when we get home sanctified, we can bring a revival to the church. Right. And each home that we get sanctified will add to the revival we need here at church. Right. We can't have revival here without having revival there first. Our grandparents taught us that. Our forefathers taught us that. They would pray through first at home before they would try to bring revival to church. Right. And we try to come to church to get revival to take it home with us. Right. It's a wrong direction. We should be working from the strong point. Many people across America remember times I've talked to them as pastors. I've talked to them as families. I've counseled them. The doors of their home have been locked, even by their children. They're just locked out in the same house and locked out. No conversation, no intimate relationship. One room for a child, another room for a parent. Parent comes in this room, child goes into that room, wife comes in this room, husband goes into that room, and the house gets smaller by the day. Until finally we realize the conflict and the war is not raging in the streets, it's raging in our home. I wish you'd help me preach. And yet in all the conflict that we have had and the things that we've gone through, there have been some remarkable yesterdays. If we would start recounting them, as the old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. If we would start recounting our yesterdays, we would see a God that was very active on our side. We look back. I was going over through Brother Thomas's books when we was over viewing Brother Farmer. We went downstairs for a few minutes. He showed me his library of books that was given to him, and he said, "Just look at them." And he said, "Just see if there's anything you want to read." And I was going through them because I got more books than I've ever read anyway. So I was just going through them, looking, and I picked up this one by Leola Huffman. Leola Huffman. There it was, her yesterday. Not her today, her yesterday. And she took time to put down in a little book about a battle she fought that she didn't think she could win. And then God came through for her. What if we all took that time just to sit down and write that book about what God's done for us? We too would sing that song, "Look What God Has Done. Look how He has brought me through. Look how He has stood with me when nobody understood me. Look how God has not forsaken me when I didn't have no strength. Look how God has put food on the table, clothes on my back, roof over my head. Look how God has opened doors that nobody else could open." And all of a sudden, we would see that the God has always been there.
Amen.
And that's what Paul was saying. I finished that course. I've been in the deep. I've been in the sea. I've been in prisons. I have been stoned. I have been beaten. I have been in peril. I have been hungry. I have been cold. But I have done that in the course that I run. I have done that in the fight that I have faithfully fought. I have done that. That is my battle plan. That is my strategy. I came through an overcomer.
Right.
Read that, but put overcame.
Yeah.
Look at this, but did not cause him to retreat. Paul kept pressing the battle.
Yeah.
Kept pushing on because he was going towards that day.
Right.
Amen. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." If you'd have left it off right then and there, we all said, it's not finished. Something is missing. That's not everything. There's not a final closeout.
Right.
There's got to be something that it needs to be said, Paul. That's not all that you're wanting to say to me. And we face the same problems. We face the same desperation. But, you know, he can come to your house. Then battles can sweep your soul. You can feel the breath of the enemy breathing down your neck.
Right, right.
You may have to take a stand before it's all over and stand by yourself.
Right. Yeah.
You may weep and you may cry. You may walk through your own tears. You may not understand why you're going through it. But all Paul's saying is, it's a laid out course. God's laid it out. That's part of what your life is going to be. Paul was talking about looking in the rearview mirror, seeing where he came from, but never forgetting there was that day in front of him. And what he was striving for was not behind him, but in front of him. It's when we get turned around and we look back and think, we got to go through that again. Thank God I don't have to go through that again. I may have some more up here in front of me, but I don't have to go through that 48 years behind me.
Right. Right.
That's past tense.
Right.
And I could write a book about those 48 years. Amen. But I'm not going to. I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be.
Yes.
You see, Paul was writing from prison, facing death, facing severe punishment. And Paul every once in a while said, you know, I can still smile. He had never converted those Roman soldiers without an attitude that proved to them that there was something better than that prison cell. Something worth going on for. Paul convinced them in chains that there was some better life. Paul convinced them in a dank, dark dungeon that there was a better something.
That's good.
They were willing to follow him on through the conclusion. And when he got to the conclusion, there was that day kept coming up in Paul's words. That day.
Right.
He kept eagerly pointing towards that day.
Right.
See, the devil's already stole some of your joy from you. You can't hardly get sad when you're thinking about that day could be within an hour, or that day could be within a day, or that day could be within a week. I just don't know when that day is, but I know that day's coming. And anybody shout amen? You can always manage a smile. You can always manage more courage when you understand that there's a way out. If Paul could see nothing but that prison and nothing but death, it would have been too sorrowful. There would have been no joy in it. But he says from that Roman prison, I say to you, rejoice, and I say rejoice evermore. He talked about joy, and he talked about peace with a chopping block facing him. He talked about life when he was just a step away from death. He talked about living when he knew he was going to die. He talked about a day when rewards were going to be given and he had to forfeit everything to go to prison. I tell you, my friend, sometimes it looks like a paradox until you put that one equation in there, that day. All of a sudden, when that day stands up bold and brave before you, he gives you something to go on for. Amen. His thoughts were protruding past the prison walls. Those unpleasant surroundings, he turned away his backward glance. He started looking towards what was going on. And he said, if that day is so close, then my Lord told me, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. And if Paul was happy, oh glory to God. I said, if Paul was happy in a prison, how happy should I be when I see prophecy fulfilled that there is not a need of another be fulfilled? My redemption is drawing nigh, and that day that Paul cannot be made perfect without me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, the remorse for the past was not there, and the fear of the future was not there. He paid no and little attention to the present. This man was in another world already. His mind was there. His heart was there. Listen to him when he says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. What can you do to a man who lives like that? Amen. You see, that's why Paul just started gazing beyond the prison walls out into another world. He took his pen in hand and finished the sentence when he said these words, henceforth, which is just to say from this time forward. He was declaring to us that there is a future. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown.
Amen.
All of a sudden, he said, henceforth, from this time forward, from the day of my departure, there's a crown waiting. When I finally finish my race, there's a crown waiting. When I fought my fight, there's a crown waiting. When I've done all I can do, there's a crown waiting. Hallelujah. No, it's not just a little bit of a pat on the back. It's not only a well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's Jesus coming with a literal crown to put on your head and said, you well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Hallelujah. Now enter into the joy of the Lord prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he puts a crown on your head and you reign with him. We went from a pauper to a prince. We went from nothing to something. We went from pain unto glory. Amen. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Always somebody help me preach. You see, there's what he said, henceforth. That means there's more to follow. Paul said, that's not it. I've not only fought a good fight, I've not only kept the course and my faith, but there's more to follow. You're only seeing so far. You need to look on. There's more after this.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You see, he had thus declared the future, and there's more to follow in it. He said, of that day, he's writing, said, not only to me, only. Now that's reaching out, Paul. That's reaching out. 2,000 years. Can I put some weight on that, Paul? Can I really depend on that? But unto all them also that love his appearing, that's me.
Right.
You see, can I trust that, Paul, that there's a crown waiting also for me because I love his appearing? Is there another crown, Paul? Is it mine? If I stay faithful, if I finish my course, if I run my race, if I fight my fight, is there a crown for me? And he said, there is. There is a crown because you too will be there at that day. The future belongs to us.
Right.
It don't belong to the devil. It belongs to us.
Right.
The devil's got an end. I can tell you the end. I can tell you. He has an end.
Right.
He's only got so many months that he can cause the world torment. Read it. It's right there. 42 months.
Amen.
He's not as ferocious as he would like for you to believe. Because God can say you can have this free run for 42 months and then you're going to face me.
Amen.
And I'm going to send my angel. He's going to put a chain on you and you're going to go into a pit for 1,000 years and then you get out for a little while to cause some more havoc and then you're going to go into the lake of fire. Do you know the devil knows he's got an end? Do you know every demon knows he's got an end? Look around, saint of God. Every sinner has an end in the lake of fire. The only one that's up and walking around when the dust is settled is the children of God. We walk around with shoes on our feet, white robe, crown on our head, overcomers, hallelujah, washed in the blood, sanctified by the truth, Holy Ghost filled, hallelujah, and free at last. You see, not only to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing.
That's right.
Paul, why are you so joyful? Why are you so bubbly knowing that you're going to die? Paul could answer, he'd just go back and quote you the book of Daniel. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Notice those words, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. That's life without end. So what is that day going to do? That day is going to make me something I've never been before. I am going to be alive with a body. Glory to God, glorious like Jesus Christ. I'm going to reign with him and live forever. Then he could quote the words of Job. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Job said, I got a personal relationship and a personal appointment with my God. And when that day comes, I'm not going to look through somebody else's eyes. I'm not going to have to read a prophecy to understand it. I'm not going to have a book to guide me. I'm going to see him with my own eyes. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day when pain drops off. I'm looking for that day when the scales roll away. I'm looking for that day when the dark glass is seen through clearly. I'm looking for that day when I will hear his voice and I will see his eyes and I will hear him for myself and I will touch him for myself and I will hold him for myself and I will live with him forever. Oh, hallelujah. Paul just goes on and says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul said, now that day right there, that day right there is going to change all of us. That dead in Christ, and that may be me. Who knows how many more years I got? That may be me. I may die before the rapture comes, but I may be raptured and never die. It's just really no contest. Either way, I'm a winner. I want to tell the devil, either way it goes, I'm a winner. I can't lose. Amen. With the old black preacher, you said you can't lose with the stuff I use. Amen. And that's exactly right. You can't lose with the stuff I use. Because all you got to do is keep your record clean, keep your heart pure, keep your hands out of trouble, keep your eyes on the right path in front of you. Amen. And keep your heart just on Him.
Right.
Making sure that your heart is always on Him.
Right.
We may be sowing in corruption, but we won't stay there.
Right.
You know what corruption is? That's a dead body. Have you ever seen a dead animal alongside the road? They call it roadkill. The first day it don't look too bad. Second day it don't look too bad. Third day it begins to change. Fourth day it begins to really change. By the fifth day it really changed. And by the sixth day you wish you wasn't around it. Because that's corruption.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul said this corruptible must put on incorruption. I will be raised in incorruption. Paul is simply stating, boy, just lay down. Lay down. Jesus sanctified the grave. Lay down. You may corrupt. Paul, amen, was just thinking about what Job said about those skin worms working on us. They may devour us. There may be nothing left of us. But God will make every skin worm give up what it's eat. And God will bring every particle of dust back together. God will not make my hair Brother Hoskins' hair, and Brother Mike's hair will not be part Brother Hoskins and my hair. And God numbered all of mine.
Amen.
So He could put this corruptible back together.
Yeah.
God knows how tall I am. God knows how round I am. Amen. And I'm glad He's the only one that knows. God knows. He knows how to put me back together. Amen. If I go apart, if I fall apart, that's not the end of it. God said, I'm going to put you back together. And when I put you back together, you'll never come apart again. You'll never have a joint that aches. You'll never have an eye that's weak. You'll never have a tooth that's missing. After I put you back together, you're going to run and run and run and run and never have to stop running. You'll never get tired. You'll never get weary. You'll never get blue. You'll never get sad. You'll never be lonely. Oh, what a day that will be. What day is the day I'm living for? Hallelujah. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power.
Right.
It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. Oh, hallelujah. That day is going to be a day that we ought to want to be there.
Amen.
All physical imperfections disappear on that day. Gone from the resurrected because we have glorified bodies. I don't know what that is to have a glorified body. It's still a mystery to me. Because I don't understand how a guy can eat honeycomb and fish and walk through a wall.
Yeah.
To me, that honeycomb and fish ought to be on this side of the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I said just in my mind.
Right.
But when Jesus ate it, it become part of Him. He took it through the wall.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There was no boundary could hold Him.
Come on. That's right.
No distance could stop Him.
Hallelujah.
Always somebody help me preach. You see, that's a glorified body, and that there's no clouded eyes, no cataract surgery scheduled. Oh, won't that be wonderful? No arthritis in the joints. No big toe hurting, no backache. You know, no getting weary at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
You just feel like you felt when you just got out of bed, and you feel that way all the days of your life. You ever remember a good day? That day will be put in the shade by one day in a glorified body. Amen. Those days we will have no pain. And there's people who live in perpetual pain, waiting for that day when there will be no pain. Tearful, aged, infirmed, will never know a sorrow or a heartache, a lonely mother, careworn father will never be sad or fatigued again. There it will be. We should ask Paul. We should ask him, because Paul would just tell you that death and destruction and joy and glory are answered by our day. Death and destruction belong to yesterday and today. But on that day, death drops out of sight.
Right.
Destruction is never known. And we live forever. Amen. So what am I worried about? I'll tell you, I worry about very little because I know that day is closer now than it's ever been. Paul speaks out of Revelation. He has a sustaining hope. And that hope is what makes us pure. Without this hope, we'd be unable to endure. That day when I packed my little Rebecca May to the graveyard and laid her down, if I didn't have hope, all the way there, I said, I'll meet you. I'm coming, baby. I'm coming. Meet me by the gate. Stand by the gate. Daddy will be there. Without hope, there was something after that. My heart could not have survived. Hallelujah. Brother Phil followed his Carolyn to the grave knowing that tomorrow held the answer. Amen. Leola followed hers to the grave knowing there's a chance for Bill tomorrow. Susie followed her mom and dad, her life just about snuffed out, but there's tomorrow. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sister Ruby walks through a house that's silent when it ought to be filled with a roaring man. That voice ought to be ringing off of the walls. She misses it. It was comfort to her to have that big man ready to do anything she needed done. But only now and tomorrow is there hope of hearing that voice again. Can anyone hear me when I'm preaching tonight? I'm talking about that day. That day is the most important day that I've got on my calendar. That day is the one I'm living for. That day is what I'm fighting for. That day is why I'm struggling for. That day is the day that when I get there, I will never think again of today. Oh, hallelujah. I must hurry. You're getting weary with me. Yeah, I've got more pages to preach and probably I'll just quit and let you go home. That day when I see Lily, Lou, Minnie struck. That day. That woman loved me, nurtured me, prayed for me, sent me apple pies to the service, and the time they got there, they was molded. They was molded, but I just looked at them and loved them and watched them for a little while and then threw them away because they just took so long to get from Indiana to where I was. Jelly beans. She'd send me jelly beans, and I wouldn't share them with nobody. Lily Lou Minnie Strunk. My first love. I fell in love with my grandma. I couldn't help it. And every time I think about it, I think that day is coming. When I'll be able to say to grandma, I made it. I thank you for praying for me. I owe you such a debt. If it hadn't been for you, I would have never considered holiness. Hadn't it been for you, I wouldn't even considered Pentecostal. I would have got some other easy way. My dad would probably persuaded me to be a Mason. He wanted me to be a Mason. He said, you can be a Mason preacher. I said, Dad, I don't want to be a Mason. And I don't want to be a Mason preacher. I want to be a preacher. I want to preach to you. You got to be saved. I want to tell you, unless you're born again, you're going to be lost. That Mason won't save you. There's that day when Mason won't matter nothing. And neither will the eagle, and neither will everything else. Just in that day in Christ. That day in Christ. If I can just be in Christ on that day, everything's going to be all right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That day. Wonderful day. Glorious day. Beautiful day. Unclouded day. Amen. I preached Sister Ann's mama's funeral. And they down there at Lake's funeral home, they had everything. She had flowers and they had everything where you couldn't get out. Just a little path. And then they filled it up with people. And boy, I was preaching. I got happy and I just wanted to run. There was just no place to run. And I told him, I said, if I get out of this place, I'd run. Well, I couldn't do it then, and I didn't do it then. I've never run at a funeral until just Brother Farmer. I want to thank Brother Farmer. Thank you, Brother Howard. Thank you for the privilege of him asking me to preach his funeral or to help in his funeral, help preach his funeral. And I finally felt it. I felt it till I couldn't take it. And I took me a little run.
Yeah.
Around here, come back. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that at a funeral. That's okay. I just got thinking about that day.
Oh, yeah.
Just that day just set me off.
Yeah.
And that day, now that Brother Farmer's finished his course, he's in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
That day that he had wanted has come for him.
Yeah.
Amen. Mine is still to come. But it didn't keep me from rejoicing about the fact. Amen. There's a greater crowd of witnesses there now than there's ever been.
Yeah.
Grandpa and Grandma. Amen. Aunts and uncles, father-in-law, mother-in-law, cousins, friends, all waiting for that day. And when that day happens, we're all going to leave together. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when Brother Josh takes off running, I can't catch him. He's too much like a squirrel. He's already back there and around before I can get off the platform. But on that day, we'll hit the clouds at the same time. You won't get me that day, boy. You run now and run hard because I can't catch you. But on that day, you won't get away from me. We'll be there at the same time. Stepping on the clouds, I'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Anybody out there know anything about that day? Oh, hallelujah. I said, glory to God. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus. Or we'll not be there by ourselves. Sylvester will be there with that head cocked to one side and those feet dancing. Virgil will be there again, all the hair in place, smile great big, shouting that shout that only Virgil could shout. Amen. But I'll be right there too. Look for me. Because I'm going to learn how to dance. I don't know how here. I just do a shuffle. But there my feet's going to be as educated as my head. I'm going to dance and dance and dance and dance. Here I shout more than I dance. But then I'm going to dance and shout. Shout and dance and say, I'm glad to be here. I am glad it's over. I don't ever want to go back. I don't want to do it again. I'm glad it's over. Gets up that day when they rise out of the dust, that day, hallelujah, I said that day. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be, that day, hallelujah. Well, Robert, come sing for us. Stand up in the house. I love this guy. I love his family. We're deeply indebted to him for giving us a man. I used to say loan. The loan's over. We're going to keep possession of 9/10 of the law. We got her. Amen. This Robert is one prince of a fella.
Amen.
I want you to help him sing. Or if he has to, he can sing by himself and sing better than anybody I know of.